Okay, so we were in the middle of discussing the issue of Isa Shehiyah and Achila and so on. Before we do, just a couple of comments, just very quickly, just to clarify a few things. This is all, as I say, interconnected anyway. So just give me 1 minute before we begin or go back to that. I just wanted to make 2 points quickly. One regarding the Hagdara Bittel. Just so you should be aware, there's another Shita that's quoted in the name of the some of the Chachmei Provence, and that is to compare a Bittel to Hekdesh. Since we had, you know, Bittel as Hefker, the idea of Bittel as Hekdesh, you know, is kind of equally intriguing. So again, in the Torah Sarishonim, one of the good things he has is that he sometimes is, you know, brings unpublished material. At least then it was unpublished. I don't know what the situation is today. Especially some of the Chachmei Provence material, you know, is still in manuscript. So here on in this book, on page 55, he has Mibes Midrashim Shel Chachmei Provence. I think that's the one. Just 1 second. Yeah. Yeah. Kasav Arav Rabbeinu Asher, the Sefer HaMinhagos, you know, just for the range, it's important. The Bittel Doma LeMakdish. And then he says that based on this, Lepi Deazu, Dailo Bittel Belibo, Kemo Hekdesh Tichsiv, Kol Nadiv Lev. And then he goes on to suggest, so again, this idea that, as we know, there's a whole big issue, like if it's really Hefker, can it really be Belev, and so on. But if it's like Hekdesh, then Hekdesh can be Belev, can be Mavakshava, because of Kol Nadiv Libo. So you see he's taking it seriously as a Rav. Of course, then he goes on to say that maybe you can bring Matzasi Sadu Dvarav Midivrei Rav Morab Meshulam Shekasav Atam She'inu Nimavarchem Al Abitel Kamo Al Abedika Lefishu Toli Belev, right below Hotza B'Pin. Of course, this could be true for, you know, all the other Rishonim too. Most of Rishonim, with some exceptions, think that when the Gemara says Mevatlo Belibo V'dayo, that it means it literally. Then there's a Deya in some of the other Rishonim too that say Lav Davka Belibo, you know, it means, you know, that he's motzi the sfasa, when they get into the, you know, problems of the discrepancies of Hefker. But the idea that this would prove that it's more like Hekdesh is fascinating, and that then that the Makor is called a Dibleid. But either way, this is one of the reasons, we'll get to this on Dav Zayin, we'll follow through with this. You know, why is there no, like, separate bracha on Bedika, you know, instead we say the Brach al-Bir. So we already know other answers to that question. That is that Bedika itself is Betoras Tchilas Bior. So you start with the, you know, beginning part of the mitzvah, Shlav Aleph, you know, and other answers too. Or that the word Bior means Biarti HaKodesh Min Abayis, and it means Pinui HaMokom, means Bais Badok, making the place into a chametz rein or a chametz free, you know, zone. So then Biarti HaKodesh Min Abayit. So Al-Bir means Bedika. It's just a better, you know, Hagadara. So those are two very cogent explanations, you know, why we use the language of Bir, which seems like phase two at phase one, and also why we're not making a separate bracha. You know, why we're not making a bracha on Bedika, but we are really making a bracha on Bedika according to both of those formulations. According to this view, you know, since it's a davar shebelev, we don't make a bracha on mitzvos shekluyim belev. Usually that means something a little bit different, you know, not so specific. Okay. So then the assumption is that all it is tchilas biur, but it's not Bedika b'toras tchilas biur. And you're not making a bracha on the Bedika at all. Then he goes on to say, maybe it's a different reason, like we just said, Efshar Tam She'im Mevarchim Alabito Kamal Alabitika Kamosha Matzani Bekriyas. Why did he make a bracha separately on the Biur, right, which you don't? Okay, we'll discuss these when we get to it. Compares it to, you know, you make the bracha on Kriyas Shema, according to those Rishonim who say that the Ikar Kriyas Shema is not the one you say in Arvis, that's more, you know, of Kedei Lamod, you know, B'tzvila B'dok Tevri Torah. The real one is a Kriyas Shema Lamita, but the one that you make the bracha on, the first one, because you make the bracha even on the Tafel before the Ikar, if that's the first one. So that's his other explanation. But then he adds, Heshiv Mori, Mashakas Rabbeinu B'bitol, She'ena Tzarech Lahotzi B'svasav, She'ena Doma Hefker L'Neder L'Gamri, Yerud Esvirle, same piece, the Hefker Ein Tzarech She'yotzi B'svasav, the Kashalei Artzar She'yafker B'fnei Gimel. Right, okay, unless you say it's not real. So this is, again, an interesting also reference to the idea that Hefker Keneder is a factor in the issue of being motzi b'svasav, etc. You know, something again which we talked about hefker keneder in terms of, you know, the way that it works, and in terms of the question of shlichos, etc. But okay, either way, in the end of the day, this is a very, very important perspective, and the question is, what does it mean when you say that bitol chametz is like hektesh, and you mean it significantly enough to say that you can do it, you know, b'leil? So I think it, you know, it's not a coincidence that this is, you know, Chachmei Provence. Clearly, you're not really making it into hektesh, but that's clear. It's kidmakdesh. So I think this belongs together with, you know, the Rabag and Rabbeinu Yonason, or, you know, the literalists of, you know, your motzi midei or mitoras achila, you know, close to the ones who think that it's actually, you know, afar, meaning that you have redefined, or at least legabe atzmacha, you know, that you have the ability to reclassify something, you know, that from your personal subjective, you know, subjectively, objectively, you know, for you, by which I mean, it has consequences, you know, beyond your just, you know, claiming that it is so, or even treating it so, because here are consequences, legabe b'yor b'yimatze. So, in a sense, you know, the comparison to hektesh, I think, is a huge leap. But I think that's what's meant by it. Obviously, it doesn't mean that it becomes a Dabashim Kedusha. And obviously, it doesn't mean, you know, like the Rishalmi that I've mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned it this year, but some of the other times, you know, Lashem Haaretz, you know, Umloa, you know, this, you know, idea of Amirasa Legaboa, Kimisi Rasa Lehejot, you know, going back to, you know, everything, you know, the way that it should have been if we didn't say, you know, Haaretz Nasan Lebnei Adam. You know, the idea, like, you know, hektish is the default. So clearly we're not talking about that, but we're talking about chametz, which is asur, and which should be destroyed. We're not talking about, you know, a davar nadur, or a davar, you know, sheyesh bo kedushas hektish. But I think what we are trying to compare it to is that in hektish, of course, through your initiative, and even through your thoughts, you are able to invest and confer a status, you know, that, you know, is treated objectively in a different manner and fashion. Like your makdish is chepetz, even believe, you know, or whatever. And there are consequences. There are consequences actually for other people too. Just like, you know, some of the Rishonim are wondering, maybe it has consequences for Achila for other people too, maybe. So in the sense that you personally can confer, pronounce, and create a chalos, different status to something, in that sense, it's like Hekdesh. Okay. But I think that's a very remarkable, both in terms of accentuating the difficulty with machshava or belave, especially if it's really, really hefker, but even in general. But especially this idea, I think, is quite fascinating and quite important. That's number one. I also wanted to mention, the question? Hold on 1 second, I'm just going to make it louder. Just 1 second. Go ahead, Nathan. Speak.
Yeah, just to further the parallel, I think there is really like Allah Hashem Aretz Umlawa with like the Eskima Daito Adas Torah.
Interesting. I think, but I don't think it's what you mean when you say that Chametz Shebitlos is Gehekta. But I do think you're right about that. We'll get to that in a second. But I want to speak more about that for a minute, too. But you're right. I mean, Lashem Aretz Imloa and, you know, Amir Asa Lagavon is a kind of reversion to what would be, you know, if not for artificial interference or interventions, halachic interventions. In that sense, it's an interesting parallel. But I find it difficult to buy that that's what's meant by Bittul Chametz being Kehadish. But I do think it's an interesting parable. Okay, that's number one. Number two, very closely related, remember that the Sefer HaMichtam quotes the Shita that says that Bittul is Ka'afar Ad Kedei Kach, you know, that maybe you can eat it, maybe even others can eat it, whatever. And then, of course, he's Doche. And then we pointed out that the Maram Chalaba thinks that it's only wrong because of Achshavei, and he does apply it through Suryano. But what about the Michtam himself? So the Michtam himself wants to explain the sugya of, I didn't bring it with me, Shami Matzei Gluska Yafa, you know, so once you did Bittul, it's okay. So again, that, I wouldn't call it, that maverick Shita, the extreme Shita that says you can eat the Afar, says that's the pshat in the Gemara. Shem Yimatzei Gluska Yafa, but if you already made it into Afar, so what's the big deal? You'll eat it, so you're eating Afar. No harm. Right? What does the Michtam do with that? So the Michtam says, no, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that it's davar ma'us lecha, and therefore you won't eat it, because once intellectually and spiritually, you know, you have labeled it as a davar maus, so that, you know, that, you know, precludes any temptation that you have, because your mind over matter, you know, designation, you know, has made it, has alienated, you know, this from you, right? Oh. However, some of the Chachmei Provence take this idea of ma'usa, you know, not just as the explanation of, you know, why it is that Shemi Matzei Gluski Yafa is not a problem, but they think that's really kind of what, and that's probably what this very well might be what the Michtam really means. I mean, if you ask the Michtam, what does Bittul do, and what does it mean that it's Ka'afa? I think his answer is that you have in your mind rendered it for yourself, obviously, as a dovermos, and that's a category. Again, the whole world of Provence is fascinating in this way. Again, I think it started with Rambam, really, as I say, in the Gonin, in the accentuation of Afar, in the Rambam triple Afar. And then you have all these questions, what does Afar mean? We've already discussed. You know, it can mean literal Afar, or a version of that, or, you know, Motzi Mitoras Lechem, or Mitoras Ochel. Then you have the Rabad, like, almost like Tumas Ochlin, or Ben Yonason, like turning it into Chametz Nuksha. So for the Michtam, you know, the idea that you've, you know, turned it into, for you, this is a davar ma'us, isn't just an explanation, perhaps, of Shemi Matzei Gluska Yafa, but it really is what Bittul does. Not just the effect of the Bittul, right, but actual, maybe that's the Bittul itself. If not that, then we do find it at least in the Tzora Chaim, who's a Talmud of the Rashi. We made reference to him in the beginning. They are also quoted in the Torah Sarishani, because he had access to certain things. So this also confirms something else that we've said. When we were talking about Shlichus, we tried to, you know, address the full range of the issues. We know there's Machlokes Rishonim, right, about whether Yesh Shlichus L'Bittul or not. And then we tried to break it down further, like if you hold Bittul as Hefker, or different versions of Hefker, you know, but what if you hold more like, you know, making it into Afar, or being Motzi Torah Slechem, or those kind of things, right? Or even, you know, a schema datel das Torah, but ein arotzah b'kiyumo, you know, in an emphatic way. Can you have a shliach for that? And what we're saying was, you know, it's hard to think that you can have a shliach for that. Either you don't need a shliach, right? Or you have to do it, it's a kind of davar shebegufo because it's such a personal renunciation and a personal sentiment. So actually, I did find that in this book. So he quotes us in the name of the Rashba, the Tzor HaChaim, who says, if I can find it, B'tama bitul yesh omrim shu, bidin miyus, number one, what I just suggested for the Mechtam, shemoes be'enav, kedavar hama'us, she'en adam rotzabo. I think that's what the Mechtam means, but I'm not 100% sure, because of what I just said, and that is that he's really trying to explain a certain detail in the sugya. Is that also his hagdara of what happens when you say afar and so on? Okay, I think so. But if not him, then, you know, then him, then Tzor HaChaim. Then he says, Yesh omrim kumi din hefker, right? Ve'ein lo bo hanav ve'ein lo shelo. And then he says, Umori araj b'hayomer, A, this Hagdara of Mius alongside some of the other ones, but even more so, this explanation that there's no Shlichus, because, you know, proclaiming something to be a Davar Ma'us is a highly personal, you know, experiential thing, and that is a kind of Davar Shebegufo. Okay? So I was looking for that Chita, and I was, you know, happy, as I say, to find it. Having said that, I want to just revisit briefly, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to complete the topic. I don't want it to be sof datenu, you know, completely either on this question. But I just want to go back for a minute because a couple of people asked about it, and I think it's really Rishonim asked about it. Certainly Achronim asked about it. So I do want to go back to the din of bitul la'achar zman isuro, in light of some of the shitas. But first, yeah, go ahead, ask.
Would this shita of the Torah Chaim say that shlichus wouldn't work even, like, if you understand that the unirash shlichus would be that renounced in the Chavi?
Say that again?
The Torah is saying that, or the Shem Rav were saying that, you can't, the Chaviru can't be denied your Chavi.
Right.
But if I was denied a shliach, would that...
I understood. I hear what you're saying. You know, you might be right. Yeah, I shouldn't be so excited. I mean, the Raj, you're suggesting that the Rajba isn't... I can still be half excited about the first part. I'm still excited about the second part, but I hear it's not... When the Rajba says... I'm not sure 100%. You're right. It's a good question. You're wondering, does the Rajba, I assume that the Rajba here means even b'minui shlichus. When he's discussing the same question that the Itur and the Ran and the Ra'ah discuss, which I think is likely, historically also, and that is, can you be Mamana Shliach for Bittul? And the answer is no. Right? You can't do it for Hefker, on a Hefker point of view, which is what the Ram says explicitly, and you also can't do it from a Mius point of view. That's how I'm reading this Rajba, especially against the background of earlier Rishonim, you know, seeming to debate whether Shlichus works. So I'm assuming that when the Rajba says, Al Yedei Adam Acher, for example, Avimishi Yidov Adam Acher, if you want to fulfill the mitzvah B'dikas Chametz, don't you need Shlichus for B'dika? I mean, of course, if you want to make sure that there's no chametz in your rishus, if somebody does bedika in your home and they tell you there's no chametz in your rishus, you know, then you probably potter for bedika. But did you fulfill the mitzvah, the rabbanan, or whoever thinks it's doraisa of bedikas chametz, if somebody did that for you? So I'm assuming that this Rajba is talking about shlichus, shlichus bebedika, shlichus bebitul hefker, and shlichus bebitul means. And he's saying, no, you need personal for that. But you may be right. I think it's a good diuk. He doesn't ever say the word shliach. So maybe what he's really saying is, but then what's fascinating is the, you know, implication in the other direction. So it's still a worthy source. Namely, that you could, that if it wasn't for Mius being so highly personal, right? Number one, there would be shlichos lehefker. That doesn't trouble me so much. I think a lot of Rishonim would agree with that. And number two, you would say you don't need shlichus, right, for bedika, even to fulfill the mitzvah. Okay, so I hear it. I hear what you're saying. I still think it means what I think it means, but I can't be certain. I think it's a good suffix to raise. Okay, so let me just revisit just for a minute, just to make it clear that there is a huge discussion and debate about the, you know, blanket statement in the Gemara on Vamad Bey Zayin Amud Aleph that there is no bitul la'achar zman isur. Okay, so we have encountered this already. We had very serious difficulty with the Sefer Mechtam, right, and his rayas, because he seemed to be bringing a raya that if the Gemara said, you know, that the Zman Tashbisu is Yom Tov, that you would be able to fulfill, you know, not Al-Yidei Sreifa, but Al-Yidei Bittul, even though it's Al-Akhar Zman Yisura. So I raised the question whether or not, once you shift things around and Tashbisu is already Yom Tov and not Lifnei Yom Tov, whether that affects Aso, Akosav Kilo Brishuso, or things like that. That was why I have another explanation, which I also believe in, for the Sefer Michtam? Okay. I mean, not just Michtam. Michtam, you know, or Chas Chaim, all those Chachmei Provence who bring that Raya. It isn't only the Michtam. So that, but that's an indication. Then we had a very interesting Ramban, right, where the Ramban at the end of the piece was saying, you know, that you have to do a second bittul when you're motzei the Gluska Yafa, unlike Rashi. Oh, the previous bittul was good enough, or the michtam, or the all the Rishonim were explaining the previous bittul was good enough. Right? The Ramban says, no, you got to do bittul again. So is that only lifnei zman isura? You know, does Ramban contemplate? And that was a little bit my ha'ara about the Ramban in the very beginning of the piece, saying that gluska yafa is a great raya, that bittul works in chametz yadua. I was like, does he mean la'achar Zmani Surah? Meaning, if you do Bittul Lifnei Zmani Surah, but that's not sufficient. Do you need, and you need to, can you also accomplish Bittul Achar Zmani Surah if it's just reinforcing Lifnei Zmani Surah? That's a chink in the armor, in the vulnerability, you know, it's a little vulnerability in this absolute statement that there's no Bittul Achar Zmani Surah. I'm not sure the Ramban means that, but in both places, I wonder about it. Okay, so we're not sure about the Mechtam and Chachmei Provence and their Raya. We're not 100% sure about the Ramban. Either way, the Gemara has this blanket statement. The bigger point I want to make is, And Rishonim asks this question, and certainly the Achronim, and that is Bishlomo, if we say that Bittul is Hefker. Right? Or Hekdesh. Right? We now have a new option. Not real Hekdesh, but something like Hekdesh. Or that it is predicated on Rabbi Shmuel in one way or another. Which means, you know, not only the Ran, you know, but also the Ramban. Right? Meaning, even though the Ramban doesn't think that Bittul has anything to do with Hefker, it is still based on Rabbi Shmuel. And since Rabbi Shmuel is itself connected to the principle of Yisuri Hanah, and also the Kosev Kil Bishuso, etc. So, according to that whole group of Rishonim, right, anybody who thinks it's connected to any kind of Hakna'a model, meaning Hefker Hekdesh, or a Rabbi Shmuel foundation, so this is a very reasonable principle. However, if you hold like Rashi, and like the Rambam, and you don't think that for Rashi and the Rambam you have a Rabbi Shmuel foundation, right? If you hold like Chachmei Provence, that you're turning this into Atar, or you're being Motzi Toras Ochel, or you're transforming it into a Dvar, you know, Maos, right? Or into Chametz Nuksha, whatever it is, is it then so obvious that you can't do this bittul lachar zman yisurim? Because after all, it's not a, and it's not built on, right, choshen mishpat type transactions or principles. So this is an issue that some Rishonim, I think the Ritva, certainly discussing this, and Achronim were bothered by it. Rabbeinu David, I think I mentioned before, we'll get back to this on Zav Zayin, you know, was troubled for Rabbi Yossi Aglieli. Okay, there the problem, you know, was exponentially worse. In other words, let's say there are three groups, you could say. There are the groups who think that Bittul is connected to some sort of bilus type transaction, Hefker Hekdesh, some aspect of Rabbi Shmuel, even if only indirectly. They're fine. Again, it's still possible for them to wonder because of Yasona Kosov Kilim Rishuso, and that's a dialectical kind of a thing. Meaning how much Asan Kirishuso and how much you don't need it. But at the end of the day, that it's a very reasonable, logical, you know, understandable. Since it's an explicit Gemara, you can assume it's across the board, and it's Doraisa, and it's not a problem. If you hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglieli, that Chametz is not Asar Bahana, so then the whole Rabbi Shmuel, seemingly, you know, is problematic. And the whole idea that there's no Bittul Lachar Zman Yisuro seems to be problematic. And yet, Rabbeinu David valiantly, you know, well, we'll see what the other people say, you know, argues that even then there might be such a din. So what is that possibly based on? The answer is that even according to Rabbi Yossi Aglieli, even if technically there's no Yisra Hanan, there's still a huge transition, a huge change from the status of Chometz, Lifnei, and La'achar Zman Yisur. And as such, the idea that, you know, there is a critical moment, and maybe it's highlighted, you know, by Rabbi Shmuel. But maybe Rabbi Shmuel is somewhat true no matter what. Namely, something happens to this typically permissible, honorable chefza. It all of a sudden turns toxic. That is relevant to you from a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lo saseh, you know, standpoint. And maybe the idea is, and it isn't dafka, the details of Rabbi Shmuel, but that's kind of what Rabbi Shmuel is saying across the board, and that is that you have to weigh in before that transition. You have to kind of determine your own personal posture on the chametz as a mitzvah and to avoid isurin and as a last chance. Once objectively this becomes chefta shel iser, you know, sor shebi iser, whatever you want to call it, you know, the antithesis of, you know, matzah or you know, the anti-Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, whatever you want to call it. Once that happens, it's too late. You have the ability to shape your posture, your attitude, you know, towards this chametz only prior to that change. So for other, for everybody but Rabbi Yossi Agbali, the Suri Hana, you know, even if it isn't a direct, you know, factor, you know, it highlights this change and how transformative it is and how that becomes a critical moment. But maybe even assuming that it's true, I mean, this is not so clear, but assuming even according to Rabbi Yossi Agbali, there's no binta lachar, Zmani Suro, what you'd have to explain is along these lines. Of course, if you're not talking about Rabbi Yossi Agbali, then it's infinitely easier to make this argument, and simply on the basis of Choshen Mishpat itself. What you might say is, and here's, you know, kind of borrowing a line of Rabbeinu David, you know, but actually it's explicated by the Ralbag in his Perush Al HaTorah. I mean, what did Rabbeinu David say? Because he was troubled, even if you are based on Rabbi Yishmael, right? Because of the Asana Kasuv, Kila Breshuso aspect of that, two aspects of Rabbi Yishmael. It's a dialectic, right? There's the Chumrah, but there's also Asana Kasuv, Kila Breshuso. So why can't he? So what did Rabbeinu David say? After Zmani Suro, right, even with all this, it's like he making a pronouncement about Mamon Shel Chaver. Right? You may be able to label and to define your own chavtza, but you can't, you know, you can't, it's like you can't impose, you know, a neder on somebody else's chavtza. You could be mudra hanah from it, because that's you. But you can't impose a status on someone else's object. You're not bailus. Bailus, in other words, is occasionally a factor. Even in non-bailus applications, it highlights or accentuates your special connection to the chefza that gives you other rights and that gives you, that makes what you say, you know, consequential as opposed to, you know, inconsequential. Keep it simple. So when Rabbeinu David said what he said, you know, it's still mechudash because you, obviously what he was saying was, you used to be the owner, right? And until this point, you're the owner. And that matters. What the previous, you know, owner says about it continues to be significant. What his neighbor says about it is irrelevant. So it's interesting that Ralbag was also troubled by this and makes a very similar statement. Ralbag here, let me see if I can find it. Yeah. Pirush Ralbag Shmosi based as well. It's the same one that I mentioned. Hashorash Harishon Shiach Shiveu Ka'afar Vadomalo Mimah She'inu La'achila Kodem Hazman. He adds, Ki Az Hu Shalit Alav V'yachal Lasos Mashiyirza L'fisha Hu Kinyan Mikinyanav V'hu Mipnei Zeh Yachal Haskim Shelo Yishtamesh Me'alechem Ahu Kishimush HaMiyuchad Bo Mitzad Shehu Lechem Ava Yishtamesh Bo Shimusho. So that's a very clear statement. I mean, according to the Ralbag, this is not a dini mamonis transaction. It's not hefker, it's not hektish. As far as I know, it's not built in Rabbi Yishmael. It's consistent with Chachmei Provence view that you really have turned it vis-a-vis yourself, maybe even vis-a-vis others, you know, into something else. It's a fascinating idea. And yet, your dine mominus shlita on it is what makes you a barhachi to make this designation. Mashal madar b'doma, in tuma v'tahara, right? In tuma. You want to be koveya something. You know, it's usage. You know, and that dictates you know, whether it's a kli, what kind of kli, whether it's an ochel, right? No one else can do that except for the bialim. Even though the, you know, identification or the imposition of the status isn't a dini mamonos transaction, right? So that is a very important perspective. I'm just trying to show these three gradations. Okay, now let's go back. Yeah.
Yeah.
About what? Rabbi Yossi Gvili. We'll speak more about Rabbi Yossi Gvili and Rabbi Nadav and the others. But yeah.
Why is it that that fundamental transition disallows Gvili?
Why is it?
That the transition between Chametz before and after would disallow one to perform it. What is it about this new...
Well, what I'm saying is, forget about the Yisra'anu. There's still a huge... When this clock strikes... You know, achilek. You know, this objectively and halachically, this chametz goes from being admirable or neutral, you know, into practically or worse than avodah zarah. And what I'm suggesting is that even according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it's very possible that at that point you lose your, you know, ability. You know, it's only before that happens, you know, that you can, you know, weigh in terms of your personal relationship.
Maybe because maybe it would be superfluous to then call it a davar mamonos, since the Torah already did that.
I don't know if it's because of the superfluity of it, or just because it's similar to the idea that I'm projecting for the Rabag and for, you know, Rabbeinu David. Except there, of course, it's what I say, it's infinitely easier to explain because you do have bailus, you know, and that matters. But here you have bailus all the time. But that doesn't mean, you know, the bailus that allows you to designate in a way that is impactful, at least for you, if not for others, you know, while the object is neutral. And, you know, and to determine that when it becomes, you know, toxic, you know, how you relate to it. But once objectively it becomes toxic, that's a loss of shlita too. Because it's no longer in your hands, right, to, as long as you can eat it or not eat it, you know, and that's up to you, you can also weigh in on how you're going to perceive it in 15 minutes. I don't know if it has to be the bailus. I'm giving an example of bailus being a factor even in... In the end of the day, it's mutter b'hanah, so you're still the bailus. So I'm not suggesting that it only depends on bailus. What I'm saying is, if you want to look at it from a bailus point of view, then the bailus only helps you, you know, before, you know, a lot of this is out of your hands. You know, so it's maybe a... And that itself is a kind of lost bailus, in some respects, as we've been discussing, like, you know, Ixosis, Hefker Keneder, and things like that. But I don't want that one to be contingent on the other. I don't think it has to be a Dini Mamonos thing at all. Not the effect of the toxicity on you limiting that, despite Tantum Bahanah, and not even the way that it works. I'm giving you this example. What I really mean to say is that it's always easier subjectively, right, to be makdish, quote unquote, I mean in the Chachmei Provence way. That's, or to, you know, define function, to be motzi mitoras lachem. It's always easier to do all these things, right, when the object is not charged but neutral. And the second that the Torah swoops in and gives it its own designation, I think it becomes harder, even if you have bailus, right, for you, not to use the bailus, but in general, like to exercise any kind of effect. It's like out of your hand. The Torah's defined it. But if you can, you know, prior to the change, you know, you can kind of integrate your own personal orientation you know, into your relationship to this chametz, that before that critical change, you know, then it's more consequential.
This is true even if you're, like, the designation that you attempt to apply to this object is exactly the same designation that the Torah applied to the object?
Well, it is the same designation. The question is whether or not you embracing it, you know, affects, you know, your relationship to it in terms of Bayiro Bayimatsa. So what you can say, once the Torah did it already and you're just like affirming, that's different. If you're anticipating, you know, then I'm not saying because it happens before, it doesn't happen before. But, you know, once it happens, it's default, it is, there's no chalos to your adding to it. So I think that's part of it as well. Okay. Let's continue. Okay. So we read through the Shakta Vitaria. Yeah. We read through the Shakta Vitaria of the Gemara, and I want to get back now to breaking it down. Okay. Noach, you want to just read the first part just for a minute? On Daled Amud Bet. So the Gemara starts with Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, right? Okay, let's stop there for a second. Okay, so we already discussed the Yerushalmi and the idea that, number one, for Rabbi Yehuda, it's much more expansive than we thought. We're going to get back to that. Right? Because according to the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yehuda has an asein alav for achila and an asein alav for biur. That means either lo yirov lo yimatzei might be a balkor for the Rambam, or maybe he thinks it's a lav of shihia based on, you know, lo sishkat or lo sizbach, you know, Pesach alachametz. Right? Could be that as well. But either way, that's an expansion of Rabbi Yehuda. And the question is, to what extent does the Bavli turn its back on those? Could be technically, you know, in terms of the asay of Isra Achila, or the lav of Isra Shehia, it could be the Bavli doesn't comply. Again, maybe the Rambam, and maybe Rashi on Dalet Amud Aleph, who said Lo Yirov Lo Yimatzei, you know, at Chatzos. If they didn't just mean it as a kind of melitza, which anyways is significant in my opinion, in terms of implying a continuity of the nature of the Chafetza and so on, it could be they really held this one. Okay, so the Rabbi Yehuda part of it, we'll leave for the moment, although we're going to get back to Rabbi Yehuda and the Rambam in just a minute, because I think that's, you know, part of the story. The Rabbi Meir part we discussed in the Yerushalmi, that's also Chiddush, right? Yoni, what's Chiddush of the Yerushalmi by Rabbi Meir? That's only Drabanan, that it's Sha'achas Lifnei. And there we described, I think, three possibilities, right? One is that the that what we're dealing with is an hour, it's like a Hachana or Hagdama to Yom Tesvav. The real Mechayiv is Tesvav, but a lifnei zmanu, a heksher or a hachana. That's one possibility. Or it could be it's a didin yodaled. We're giving lip service to some sort of shame chametz and isa chametz on yodaled. But instead of chatzos, it's enough that it be kol dehu on yodaled, and it's an hour. But these are two very different perspectives, whether this is a yodaled halacha or a pre-tesva, including some of the issues that we are alluding to in terms of the continuity questions. Like how much of a huge, you know, disruption, right, is there when there's kares and when Yom Tesvav, you know, actually arrives, etc. So that, I think, are two possibilities. I think it's a third option in light of the Ramban's formulation in the Magen Mishnah for the Rambam, what is implicit in Rashi and the Rambam, and that is that there can be a din of Tashbisu, or Isur Shehi, or Bior, which is neither, you know, a din in pre-Yom Tesvav as a Hachana, nor is it a din in, you know, some sort of quasi-status for Yadalit, but it's simply a Sheval Tasa to ensure that when Tesvav rolls around, that everything will be Kedasu Kedin. So maybe the hour, you know, is like more of a Melitza, or maybe you need the hour, you know, but it isn't a din in Yom Yadalit, it's not even a din in Hachana Yom Tesvav, in the active sense. It's more, you know, to secure the purity, let's say, of Yom Tesvav itself. And as I said, I think how you read that line, you know, in the Yerushalmi, you know, is very important. Good. So those are three options. But once you hit the Bavli, right, it's clear, as the Farshim point out, on the Rameir side, that our Gemara disagrees. Our Gemara thinks that the Din of Rameir from Chatzos is also the Ras. However, what's now not clear, where the Yerushalmi has been tremendously beneficial to us, is, you know, because we have a much more, that our idea, you know, in the Yerushalmi for a mayor, kind of really highlighted this problem. Namely, that there really are three ways, let's say, to look at this, you know, preamble, or this, you know, prior period. And in a way, you could just ask the same question, you know, for the Bible. Moreover, the idea that, I think there are two, you know, perspectives that the Yerushalmi, you know, provides that help us at least to explore and examine. What is the one I just said? Is this a Tesvav halakha, a pre-Tesvav, a din and yudalid, or an im-Tesvav with an ayin, you know, the purity of Tesvav? Moreover, is it possible that that gufa is something which distinguishes Rav Yehuda from Rav Meir? Meaning, even if Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir in the Bavli both agree that after Chatzos there is an Isur D'oraisa of Shehiyas HaChametz, is it possible, just like in the Yerushalmi, right, that it's based on two different ideas? Namely, that for Rabbi Yehuda, right, this is more, you know, of a one kind of halakha, and for a mayor, a different kind of halakha. Now the question is, and which for which? Ah. And here it's not clear. Not so clear. On the one hand, you would think, like if we're wondering, you know, whether the chalosin that take place on Yudalad are Yudalad dinim or Tezvav dinim. Right? On the one hand, the fact that Rabbi Yehuda, you know, is the Malkus, you know, Lifnei Zmano, you know, would seem to indicate that he takes very, very seriously Yom Yudalad. You know, and then maybe it's a Pesach halacha, a Yudalad halacha, you know, etc. Whereas for Rabbi Meir, like in Yerushalmi, Shachas Kodet Tezvav, so it's okay, it's at Chatzos. But it's not a din in Yudalit. It's a prep for Tezvav. It's an adjunct, it's a tafel, right, to Tezvav. That's one way to go about it. The other possibility, of course, is to go the other way. That is to say, if Rabbi Yehuda thinks, right, that Yom Yudalit has Malkus, meaning that sounds like he thinks, and in some respect, you know, pre-Tesvav, right, is already here on Yadav. As opposed to, you know, maybe Rabbi Meir, where it's just an Isur Shehiya, or we'll discuss its Achila in just a minute. You know, maybe that's just not comparable at all. And this, of course, is very consequential to all sorts of issues that we've already alluded to. Right? What is the relationship between Yidalot and Tetzvot? Right? What if you switch up the Hasros? What if you're Mitzarev the Shiurim? Right? The more you think Yidalot and Tetzvot are distinctive, never the twain shall meet. You know, you can't even Lahachmir, can't quote the more severe pasuk and get the, even if you only want to get, you know, the less severe, you know, onesh, if they're two different mechayev. You know, but if they're one mechayev, maybe you could. Very parallel to our Tarobas questions. Structurally, same question. Or tziruf l'shir, they say, you eat a chatzi shir, you know, at the end of Yom Yadalad, kedei achilas pras, with Tesbab, assuming I'm talking about Achilo for a moment. Assuming there's an Achilo, we'll get to that in a minute. So, do you get the, you know, the Mekel Avera or not? For that matter, is there a Chatzishir? If there's a Chatzishir on Tesbab, does that mean there's a Chatzishir on Yadala? And if there's a specialized Chatzishir on Tesbab, based for the Rambam, based on Lo Ye Achel, hearkening to earlier in the year. Does that mean that there is such a thing for Yadalit with the Nafkaminas that, you know, accrue? And again, we're not going to follow through on every one of these questions. All these are relevant questions. If there's any sort of Tarobas comments on Yom Tezvav, does it mean that there's a Tarobas comments on Yom Yadalit? Right? And if there is Bal Yirah, as I say, on Yom Tesvav, is there already Bal Yirah in the afternoon of Yom Yadalot? Right? That's the Rambam Rashi half-ribed issue too. So, what I'm really asking is, you know, number one, you know, is this kind of, you know, limbo period, you know, with Yerushalmi's hour for a mayor, the rights, but the Bavli's Chatzos, is it a din in Tesvav, Yadalid, and there are Nafkamina? In my opinion, this question almost becomes moot for the Rambam, for everything we've discussed in the Rambam. Because I think that the Rambam holds that those are just two ways to say the same thing. That Yudalid, and this goes back to my, you know, formulation, which is that Yom Yudalid for the Rambam, even more than any other Rishon, is Chag HaPesach, a quasi Yom Tov. But I don't think that that is separate from it also being Erev and Likrat Yom Tesvah. And therefore, for the Rambam, I think this is kind of a package, at least for Rabbi Yehuda, not necessarily for Rabbi Meir. It's both more Yudalid and also more similar to and an extension of, an earlier extension of Tesvav. But for other Rishonim, I don't think it's necessarily true. Okay. Good. That's the question that I wanted to discuss. So it's interesting that at least in one, again, Chachmei Provence, you do have an interesting echo about Chatzos. Stephen? You see it? The Meiri, page 15? Or the Arachayim? I think I gave that, no? Sound familiar? Simcha? What's that? It's in the Arachayim too. Orchis Chaim too. Oh, you saw. You said you saw the mirror. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. It's a fascinating piece, anyway. Yeah, but I mean, the whole piece is trying to explain. Do you have it with you? Yeah. Come on. What's he talking? Before you get it, just. Yeah, I mean it's a little bit over the top, right? But it doesn't matter. I mean, it's still it's basically he's talking about different ways right, to chop up the day, which is a fascinating topic. And of course, something that we a little bit have discussed when we were doing that base, and we were talking about, you know, when the night is the beginning of the day, you know, and the different gradations, and how fluid are the, you know, different, you know, stages, you know, of a day. And then, of course, that was one discussion. And then we had the other discussion where the Gemara is trying to figure out, you know, Bedikas Chametz, maybe it'll be better in the morning. Or no, at night. And now here, of course, on Daf Hey, the Gemara's suggestion that maybe Tashbisa should be at night. Anyway, this is an interesting question. And we know in the Mikdash, for certain things, you know, the day starts during the day. Generally, it's Vayer Vayivoker, day starts at night. In the first day of Bereshis, the whole Dion of the Mepharshim, I think I mentioned earlier in the year, the Malbim, has some really fascinating things about, you know, was that a switch? You know, in the, not a switch, you know, in the plan, but was that like a stage, you know, that the world was created, you know, first day before night, and then they changed, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, changed from there, and that's why there are like two, you know, kind of models. So this whole question is a fascinating question on any level. You have the language of the mirror, it doesn't mean the whole piece, like, you know.
I have a joke for that.
What?
I'm loving that star.
That's the end of the piece. I'll have you read the beginning just for a second also. But what I really am interested in is the part that Simcha just read, which is a fascinating suggestion in Chachmei Provence, and that is that the reason why Chametz is Osar Michatzos Ulamala is because in the, I guess, astronomical world of Mitzrayim, right, that's the beginning, or that's the zone that introduces Yom Tesvav. Right? Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
So you say, I say it's a little wow when you see it. I mean, we have Yisurei Chametz and Chatzos because of the stargazers, of the astrologists, I don't know if it's even the astronomers, probably really the astrologists, right, of Mitzrayim. Of course, when you think about it a little more, that isn't so crazy at all. Because those stargazers, astrologers, you know, they're a huge part of the story of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You know, a little bit in the Pshat, you know, but especially as Chazal and the Mepharshim, you know, expand on. You know, from the very beginning, in terms of how they perceive the threat of Klal Yisrael. Yeah, I don't want to mix, you know, halacha and agada here, but of course, it is a part of the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? You know, as well as in, you know, how they assess the Makos, and, you know, the decisions that they made. So in a way, it's a, you know, it's not, of course, it's not deference to the, like all of a sudden, you know, Dinei Yisrael are taking a back seat, you know, to the way that it's Daigenei Mitzrayim, you know, chop up the day. Like, how crazy is that? And so that, no, it's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that they played a big role in this whole story, and therefore when you, you know, as part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, right, their conception, you know, of Yom Tesvav matters. But at the end of the day, one thing is clear, and that is that according to that view, as interesting as it is in all the other implications, it's not a din in Yom Yadalah. Right? It has nothing to do with Korban Pesach. Presumably, unless Korban Pesach is also because of that. Maybe. But the Pashtos, it has nothing to do with Yom Yadalah. It's Tchilas Yom Tesvav. And in a way, it's a way to read the Pasuk. You know? Ach b'yom arishon tashbisu, which, as we always point out, from a pshat point of view, what that means, the day before. Okay, good. We need psukim to show it can, but at the end of the day, it doesn't typically. So we prove that it can so it's not inaccurate. And then the question is, then why choose that? If that's, why not just say Erev? The answer is because you're making the point that on a certain level, this is Tchilas Tezvav. I prefer to make the point to the other way, to say that Pesach, Chag HaPesach, in some respects is Yom Rishon. As I said the other day, just like Yom Shmini in Sukkot, you know, isn't just a Yom Tov B'fnei Atzmo, it's also Yom Shmini. Right? It's just in the opposite directions. But, I think the Meiri, how does the Meiri read in the beginning of the paragraph? Here on the Daf. On page 15 of the printed ones. Yeah. You have it? Go ahead. He just talks about different ways of breaking up the day. I think it's just like an interesting little... Yeah, 100%.
There is some aspect of...
Right, no, that's what I mean. Right. And Berah, Hotsiyanu, the Kochav Ra, and, you know, the timing with the Chatzos, with the, you know, Ma'adim, and the, all the stuff. These are, like, basic, you know, Chazal. And also Medrash Halacha. Some of these things are part of the Mechilta. So I think you have to just look at it that way, too. Do you have the... anybody have the line or not? Or... Go ahead. Not that you have it?
Yeah, but I also just wanted to make a ha'ara. Yeah. I read the line also, but it's ironic, though, that in that part of the Meiri, the drasha for him is Afiz Memay Leheter Bechelik Rishon Shabiyo.
Yeah, that's strange. A little bit. So
the irony is that the Hava Mino would be that the whole
Yom Yom,
and then the Maskana is this idea of the Yom Tesvav is starting
push to back. Later. Right. So you have both extremes in the meaning. Do you have the language there, Nathan?
Yeah, I can start from the beginning.
Just the beginning of the paragraph, because I just think it's an interesting...
So he says, Uleinyan biur, masha amru, de pulia maaser, hirshu, shilu lohaisa, chobas hashvasa, ubir alaila, loya gozer mo kokach asarfa tchilashish, trebein yom laila inglitos. Gechei masha shalu veim masafra, veishu lachilik, hirushu, which is Yerushalmi-esque.
Right.
Yeah. Then he says, V'rabosai pirshu shayom kulo nefak l'arba chalakim sheshos l'chol echad v'tchilos aminyan falak b'na umos.
Like people who midnight, basically. I mean, the non-Jews, some of them start in the morning. That makes sense. That's a day. You could say that was part of the original Bria, too. And for Mikdash, that's two. Some of them start at Chatzos at night. 12 o'clock, midnight, that's the secular calendar. Right? Go ahead.
And the Chakmerat Zigninus, Minikudas Chatzi Ayom, Shashemet Nigla, the Kulho.
Well, that's also interesting. Like, why is that? Because that's when the sun is, like, you know, unequivocally present, or more present, you know, everywhere, anywhere. Yeah. It's interesting that part of the Malbim story in the beginning is that also, you know, like, you know, light and dark and sun and moon, and, you know, this idea, how relative was light based on the sun, as opposed to there just being light everywhere in all parts, you know, not depending on the rotation of the world and so on. Yeah, go ahead.
The after shekasav biyom, the kasav af, harehu minimay leheter chilek rishon shebiyom.
Yeah. So again, that's strange, because like that alone, you would think that default, it should be the entire Yudalit. Which, by the way, works perfectly with, oh, this is the day of Akravas Korban Pesach. It's a Yudalit thing, not a Tezvav thing. And again, even more perfectly for the Rambam, who thinks that, you know, the Boker part really does have certain things, and Parshas Pinchas you know, where it doesn't say Bein Arbayim, everything we've been speaking about. So I think maybe the Meiri was kind of a little bit, you know, influenced, of course, hugely influenced by the Rambam. But then he goes in the exact opposite direction. Go ahead. Not that bad.
Yes, he says, V'nimsa b'yuro b'chatzi hayom, sh'tchilos yom chamish asar l'mitzriyim, sh'vimisnagim b'kol nyenehem achar k'chachmos ha'stegninus.
Wow. So this Orchas Chaim says the same thing in Simin Yod. Yeah. You know, whenever you start like that, you know, I brace myself. I'm joking. What? Yeah. We want to be careful about that. I'm still reeling from some Zohars from a couple of years ago. When who says it?
When the Orchas Chaim says it.
The Orchas Chaim?
It has to do with that, like, this is the first day of the anniversary of the Orchas Chaim that we're being created. But he says, where the Meiri's focus is that this is like what the Egyptians did, it's like the way their whole process was oriented. But the Orchas Chaim is like focused on Mosai and Chaim, on like the Hebrew design.
What's the language? That's Simin Yod, right? Osia?
Yeah,
you read it, just. What? I mean, he also says, doesn't say it's Tzitztagene.
No, he says that, it's just the Mosai and Mitzrayim. He focuses on leaving.
Uh-huh. I'll look at it again. Not
the
sure.
The question is, like, how significant...
I would agree with you that I'm not sure either. Okay. Okay, good. So anyways, I spent a little more time than I should have on that, but that's a very... This whole question of, you know, Yom Yedalad, you know... And again, it's really, highlighted very much by... some of these things. Okay, so let's take another point, and that is the following. There is, the Gemara says here, Bein Rav Meir, Bein Rav Yehuda. Okay, we've already raised the question, you know, about the qualitative discrepancy between them, even if they both agree that it's Doraisa, as I say, and I'm suggesting in either direction that there could be related to this question. In other words, is it a spillover from Tetzvav? Is it a din in its own right in Yadalad? You know, in terms of being more tuffel, you know, you'd think, well, Rav Meir, Rav Shimon versus Rav Yehuda, more tuffel. For Rav Yehuda, it's a more, is Malkus, you know? I mean, wow. And not only, yeah, I mean, is Malkus. Here it is. On the other hand, as I say, it also gives more emphasis to Yom Yadalad. You know, as opposed to Tesla. I should also add that there are two Rabbi Yehudas. You know, when we speak about Rabbi Yehuda, you know, it's not, you know, something to ignore. And that's Rabbi Yehuda also thought that this is the Doraisa of Lacharzman Isuro. Right? Lacharzman Isuro, you know, which extends, is certainly a whole different, you know, idea and concept. Now, that meaning... that, you know, Yom Yedalad, it's hard to, again, you could have said it's all one thing. If Kametz is going to be Asur, the Kares, and all the other Chomer Dinim, and Pesach, then that's going to spill over before and after. Okay? And then you say, like, you know, there's already a Shem Chametz, you know, in advance, doesn't just start, you know, especially for certain Dinim, so it's going to get serious. And afterwards, it Avar of the Pesach, and therefore it always has a shame, Kamet Shaliser, end of story. So if you think that, you know, Midde La'achar Pesach, whether it's a Knas Doraisa, I mean, La'achar Pesach, I think the question from you is it a Knas Doraisa, or is it a shame Chametz that continues by virtue of the fact that this is Chametz which, you know, violated, let's say, by your Abayi Matzah. Typically, it's in Yisra's Man. You know, it comes and goes. This doesn't go because it remains toxic. I don't want to do Chametz L'Achar's Man right now. I hope I'll do it at some other point. But it's a thing to think about. Right? Also for Rav Shimon on the Drabana level, frankly, but again, qualitatively, it makes a lot of sense to distinguish Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon in this regard. So is it a Knas Doraisa? Even a Knas Doraisa, has nothing to do with living. If it's a shame chametz, you know, that doesn't go back, that doesn't become, revert to being a heter, you know, then maybe already a Yom Yedaled, Acher Chatzos, you also have a shame chametz, and that's the common denominator. But either way, that would eliminate the factor of, you know, Korban Pesach and the continuity, we'll say, with Yom Tezvav in a bigger way for Rabbi Yehuda. If you want to say what I've been saying, especially for the Rambam in Rabbi Yehuda, you know, you need to say that it's true that there is, you know, a lav lefanav and a lav la'achrov, but they're different mechaibim. The lav lefanav is based on Shechitas Korban Pesach and Yedalin, and, you know, also I'm suggesting maybe that it's the Hakdamah to the Chag. All those things you don't have in La'achar. And the La'achar is one of those other two things, but they are different. And then there'll be huge nafkaminas. Moreover, but I'm very comfortable saying that, especially for the Rambam anyway, because the Rambam was attacked by the Ravid, by the Ramban, by all the Mefarshim, for splitting the Psak. Like, you know, Nimar Shach, if you're a Muta guy, then Paskin all the way like Rabbi Muta. But as the defenders of the Rambam all point out, in terms of the objective evidence, you can split it. And what I'm adding is that the Rambam, this is what I said the other day as well, that for the Rambam, it's appealing to split them. Because here, I think, was just, again, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But for whatever reason, the Rambam, all these things in the Rambam, a lot of which we listed last time, and there are more, right? But the Rambam, more than any other Rishon, built up Yom Yedalin as a day of Chag Korban Pesach. And the Rambam, more than any other Rishon, is the one who kind of embraces Rabbi Yehuda. So the idea that he is comfortable splitting Lifnei La'achar, one of the reasons he's comfortable with that is because the Mechayev, the compelling part of Rabbi Yehuda, is Dafka and Lefanav, because they're two different dinim. That doesn't mean for all Rishonim, especially for the ones who think it's a package deal. And if the package deal isn't just about learning the Psukim and the Gavra authority of Rabbi Yehuda, so then you say, no, it's about Shame Chametz. Shame Chametz Lefanav and Shame Chametz La'achar. Or, you know, you're machmir on the knas la'achrav, and you're machmir on the siag or the hachana lefanav. If it's one day. But as I say, for the Rambam, I'm super comfortable making the distinction. Okay. So, this becomes a very interesting question. So when the Gemara here says, Bein Rab Yudah, Bein Rab Meir, or Bein Rab Yudah, Bein Rab Shimon, whatever it is, you know, it becomes, you know, food for thought whether they are identical, even if there is a common denominator. Yeah. No.
Is there ever saying that the Rambam passes like Rabbi Yehuda, but not Mitame? The Rabbi Yehuda is, it didn't end up overflowing, but the Rambam, because of the Yom Yedaled, is kind of...
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying more likely that the Rambam understood that the two dinim of Rabbi Yehuda, the two chidushim of Rabbi Yehuda, are separate. What I'm saying, what I'm contrasting that with, is that the Rishonim who think it's a package deal, right? They either think that the package deal is because of the authority of Rabbi Yehuda, the way that he learns the Psukim, etc., or because they think that there really is a common conceptual denominator between Lifnei and La'achar, but that the Rambam didn't think any of those three things were true. He thought you could split the authority, you could split the darshanus. And most important, he thought that Rabbi Yehuda himself didn't think that Lifnei, and remember, the pasuk of Lifnei is itself connected to, you know, Korban Pesach. And I think that for the Rambam, always, the default, as I said the other day, that's always significant. You know, it's not typically just a Gilui Milsim. Yes, I'm not saying that he pasked like Rabbi Yehuda v'lo mitameh. I'm saying this is how he understood Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, he was comfortable saying, there are two dinim of Rabbi Yehuda. The evidence is compelling for one. I'm not saying also that he just picked it because he liked it. That's what I mean about the chicken and the egg. The evidence is compelling for one, and the evidence is not compelling for the other. That's how I understand it. Okay. So, of course, what's particularly fascinating here, sorry this is taking longer, try to pick up the pace on Thursday, but is a comment that the Rambam makes in Sefer Mitzvos, which is relevant to some of the, you know, comments that, you know, were made independently by a bunch of the Rishonim here al Atar, who came after, mostly came after the Rambam, but didn't pick up on this one, you know, but speak about it in their own way. Namely, when the Gemara says, it's not just us, you know, trying to, you know, split, you know, some small difference, you know, the Rishonim were wondering about this. Meaning, what is the significance of saying, Bein l'Rabbi Meir, Bein l'Rabbi Yehuda? After all, what role does Rabbi Yehuda's din of Lifnei Zmano, Malkus, Bachila, what role does that play here? And this is a double question. Number one, is our Gemara itself interested in Achila? Achila and Hana? Or in Shehiya, in Tashbisa? Just not so clear when you look at the Gemara. Mostly it sounds like we're interested in Shehiya, or Tashbisa. Clearly. But here and there, it sounds like the Achila piece, I mean, the debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is on the Din Rabbanan, let's say, of Achila and Hana. But that's the first thing that they make reference to. What does that have to do with, unless that's what the Gemara is saying, forget about Achila, forget about Hana, not just forget about the Rabbanan. Forget about Achila and Hana. There's a unity when it comes to Isur Shia. Where does that come from? Or is the Gemara saying that even though there's debate about Achila and Hana, at least Midrabanan, and maybe more, after Chatzos everybody agrees about Isur Shehiya, that's still non sequitur, or about Achila and Shehiya, or Achila Hana and Shehiya. Just reading the Gemara in light of the introduction of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and yet the continuation which focuses so much on the Tashbisu part, is difficult. It's a difficult read of the Gemara. So we showed that we're troubled by this. Okay? Who is troubled by it? Who's troubled? Any Rishonim? Esau? Rabbeinu David, right? Maran Chalava. They quote this Rashi, which we don't have. What's the Rashi? That the Kulam was Dafka Rabbi Meir, not Rabbi Yehuda. Why not Rabbi Yehuda? Why exclude for Rabbi Yehuda? If you know that it's also Bachila B'Malkus, it's certainly also B'Shehiya. Correct? That's what they quote. That's what Maram Chalava quotes, and Rabbeinu David quote, in the name of Rashi, which we do not have. Meaning the sugya is really only for Rabbi Meir. For Rabbi Yehuda, it's Pashut that there's an Isur Chi of Tashbisu and Isur Shehi. On the other hand, who says the opposite? Josh?
Tosfos?
Well, Tosfos doesn't really say the opposite, do they? Okay, right, that's true. That's very specific and it does relate. But the total opposite. Who thinks that the Gemara... I mean, Rashi is quoted as saying this Gemara is only a Lima Drab Shin in our Meir. Correct? Who thinks that this Gemara is only a Lima Drab Yehuda? Anybody? No? What? Oh, it could be, I don't remember. Does he?
Could.
Could be. I don't remember, but Risho, Josh. Who? We'll get to the Balamor soon. No. Who? The Rambam, where? Correct. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Kuf Tzadi Tes, has a remarkable line. What does he say? Correct. It's always good to remember the difference between los ases and ases. Here. You have the line? This is mitzvah kuf tzadi tes. No, you don't need to. Yeah, v'sham, which is dalet amud beis, correct? And then he goes to this nusach thing, kain matzanu. That what? The word, what word is he focused on? Which doesn't appear in all the Gersos. Which word? Doraisa. Right? Okay. So he just sneaks it in. This is his raya. That we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. He's running me'achol chametz achar chatzos yom yedal minisan. Hu amara lo sochal ot chametz. The Gemara Pesachim Chav Chesam and Beis, that's the real Rabbi Yehuda, right? That's the real Gemara about it, right? Eitan? Minayin lo chametz m'shei shos l'mala shubalas shenem lo tochal of chametz. Period. The Sham Amru Kulalma Mias chametz m'shei shos l'mala daraisa. What's he bringing that for? Meaning, he thinks that our Gemara proves that we paskin. It's a law libid Rabbi Shimon, but it means that Rabbi Meir agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that there's Malkus, mind you. Wow. Where'd he get that from? Right? Where do you get that from? 1 second. Who calls him out on this? Well, on the bigger idea, of course, the Ramban, just like the Rai did. But on this particular point, who calls him out on that? 1 second. Haim Dim Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, here he does quote it. Yeah, I'm sorry. Vatema. You have it? Meaning, there's like a half a concession here by the Rambam. Truth is, he didn't even have to give that much of a concession. I think the only reason he gave it was because it's true. What do I mean, Eitan?
He says that there's a mitzvah or appeal against Tashbis. All he did is say was that we were talking about Tashbis. So
correct. Why don't you hold out and say that the Gemara is saying zero about Achila. The Gemara is only talking about Tashbis. The Rambam's bring this the raya for Rabbi Yehuda that there's Malkus of Achila? But since the Ramban, I think there are two possibilities here. Right? Either because it's true, namely, the Ramban, like the Ravid, against the Balamor, agrees that even according to Rabbi Shimon, there's an Isra of Achila l'achar chatzos. Not Bidin Alav and Malkus, Bidin and Isra say of Tashbisu. That's what the Raivid says too in Perek Aleph, Halacha. Okay, we'll go back to the Raivid. So since it's true, or is it also because he thinks it's somewhat necessary? I mean, does he agree with it? What's the Rambam saying here? I mean, what's the idea of the Rambam? What's the Rambam even talking about? Right? I mean, the Rambam is so the Ramban says, you know, it's true, there's an Isur Achila, but that doesn't mean it's Balabu B'malkis. So it's not clear if the Ramban is saying there's not even evidence in the Gemara about Achila, Kol Shekein, not about Lav and Malkus, or is he kind of half conceding that there is, you know, compelling evidence in the Gemara that there's Isur Achila? Just not Balaam of Mamalkas. Right? That's not clear in the Ramban. I mean, what's the issue? What am I really getting at here? And when you contrast Rashi as quoted by Rabbeinu David and Amram Chalavi with the Ramban, you know, it's particularly interesting. I mean, Pashtus and Rashi, that Rashi, well, we don't have. Isn't Rashi saying what? If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, right, then you don't need a makar to teach you that there's an Isur Shehiyah after Chatzos. Meaning, it's inconceivable that you're going to get Malkus, a lav in Malkus, but you can keep Chametz in your Rishas. Point to Shimon. There's no lava, there's no malchus. Maybe you could. You need a malchus. Now, does Rashi think that according to Rav Shimon there's a heter achilas? Does he hold like the Balamor? That in principle there's a heter achilas comments achashesh? Maybe. I doubt it. So then even that, what's Rashi talking about? You get back to the same issue that the Ramban has raised. Well, let's say three formulations. Rabbeinu David, Maram Chalava, their own, like, perspective. The Bala Itur is what? Ha'ilachudekai, ba'ilachudekai. These two things are completely, completely independent of each other. Right? You could hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Let's take the other extreme. But let's just pin down the actual... Okay, we have to stop in a minute. I have to run to something. But let's just get the actual shittos down, and then we'll try to finish this on Thursday. With the other marmakopas, of course. Right?
Why can't that other version of Rashi just be saying that the Gemara is only asking about Achila?
Well, it's very hard to say that based on the continuation of the Gemara. I mean, clearly the Gemara is also talking about Tashbisu going forward. I mean, the Hekeshes aren't Tashbisu. You know, the Raya with Rabbi Akiva and all that is on Tashbisu. I don't think that's possible. What's that?
Is what you're saying.
You mean he understood Rashi that way?
No, he doesn't like Rashi because he understood the way. That's why he doesn't like Rashi.
He doesn't like Rashi because yeah, right.
Rashi doesn't think it's about that.
You agree with me?
No, no. He thinks that the Gemara could be a point where we do it also because it's about that piece.
Correct. And what does the fact that you believe that there's Malkus and Alav, how does that prove Tashbisu?
It doesn't. Rashi, the whole thing, he understands Rashi saying that the only...
Well, let's read it. Here's Rashi, Rabbi Meir, the Il Rabbi Yudah, Nafka Lelekamam, Lelotocha Lelchametz. So Natan is saying, no, because he thinks the whole Gemara is about Achila. It's hard to say the whole Gemara is about Achila, because the Gemara clearly is also about Tashbisu. I mean, the whole Gemara here, Ishkes Hashbasas Sa'ar, L'Achilas Chametz, V'Achilas Chametz, and L'Achilas Matzah, demonstrates that we're talking about Tashbisu. The continuation of the Gemara. What's that?
Maybe we're just talking about Isra Seh, for Achila.
So how do you... I mean, what is Ishkes Hashbasas Sa'ar, L'Achilas Chametz? Achilas Chametz is the Yisur. It sounds like you're going from Tashbisu to Achila to Achilas Matzah. We'll still talk about that. And then the other one is the whole Rabbi Akiva and so on and so forth. I think it's almost impossible to say that we're Xing out, that Tashbisu isn't the main, you know, issue. But let's say it this way. What the Maram Chalava, Rabbeinu David, I guess we're going to stop here. So I'll read it from the next slide. What all three of them say is that in theory, you could be Mechalek in both directions. When it comes to Yuddal and Acher Chatzos, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, they hold like this. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then in theory, you could say, about Chametz, you know, Umatza, or whatever, you know, Ima Babayas. If you eat it, you'll be Lokeh. That doesn't mean you can't have it around. Correct? The Balamor, as we know, has the opposite. They also say the opposite. Maybe you could say, Galitur is like maybe the most explicit, right? You could say there's an Isur Tashbisu. That doesn't mean you can't eat it. Well, you have to analyze it. What, it's toxic enough to get rid of, but it's not toxic enough to be Asur? Right? Here. This is the Itur. Mistabra middlo asyla nehechid nafkale le Rabbi Yehuda gufei le kaman. They're all bothered by this too. How come they're not quoting Rabbi Yehuda? Right? The Rambam will tell you in Sefer Mitzvos, this is Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi will tell you, we're not quoting Rabbi Yehuda, because we don't need it once we have Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Itur, Shema mina delo kami boile le inyan achila. Meaning, and this is Rabbeinu David, this is Maram Chalava, what they're saying is, you can, on Yom Yedalit at least, you can split these two things in either direction. You can hold no Isra Achila, but yes, Isra Tashbisu. Now that allows it. Or you could hold, right? No Isra Tashbisu, but yes, Isra Achila. And it sounds like what Rashi is saying is, you can't, once you think there's an Isra Achila, there's going to be an Isra Tashbisu. And it sounds like what the Rambam is saying is, if you didn't think that there was an Isur Achila, the Malkus, there wouldn't be an Isur Tashbisu. Now those are parallel opposite ideas. This is a very fundamental argument issue. Now for the Rambam, right, all of this is one sugya. So he's totally Lishitaso. I mean, for the Rambam, it would be conceivable for Rabbi Yehuda to hold this in Isra Achila but not in Isra Tashbisu. Right? But the fact that there's also an Isra Tashbisu is proof of Rabbi Yehuda. It wouldn't go in the other direction. That's what the Rambam didn't say for Mitzvos, is saying. That's consistent, because in Perek Aleph, Halacha Ches, the Rambam saying, I paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. He still needs in Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, to quote Tashbisu, Ach B'Yomar Rishon Tashbisu, and Rava, to establish the Isur Shehiyah. However, for the Rambam, and that's what you see from Sefer Mitzvos, it's another piece of the puzzle, it's not that these are two completely different dinim have nothing to do with each other, because by saying that, going back to my Dio comparing base, by saying Kodim Zman Isra Achilaso, right, the Rambam is already telling you that Tashbisu is built on Rabbi Yehuda. By explicating Rava of Daf Hei and Perek Aleph Halacha Ches, Why is he quoting Rav on Daf Hei? Perek Aleph Halacha Ches is Rabbi Yehuda. Right? This is the Rambam Lashitaso. In Sefer Mitzvos. And everywhere else. And then the other Ha'ara, which Josh, you know, accentuated the other day, which is the order. Right? First, Rabbi Yehuda in Kotera. Then the Asay of Tashbisim. Even though chronologically, they're opposite. Tashbisu is quoted in Zmani Suro, and Rabbi Yehuda's La'akar Zmani Suro. No, but that, my suggestion at least, that's exactly the point. You have to do the Tashbisu because Rabbi Yehuda's La'akar Zmani Suro. The Mechayiv of Tashbisu is an accentuated Rabbi Yehuda. You wouldn't have Tashbisu if it wasn't for Rabbi Yehuda. That's what the Rambam says in Sefer Mitzvos, which everybody thinks is inexplicable. So why do they think it's inexplicable? Because, either because of like the Itur, Rabbeinu David, Marim Chalava, that never the twain shall be. But that's not exactly what the Ramban says. It sounds like the Ramban is conceding that there's a connection. But what's he saying? He said the connection is true for Rav Shimon too, because Rav Shimon also believes that there's an Yisrachil, just based on the Tashbisu. Why is there, meaning in Achanami, Tashbisu and Yisrachila are connected? Without one, you wouldn't have the other. These are separate machlokas rishonis. Right? However, says Ramban, what difference does it make whether it's Malkus and Lav? That's just more. And for Abshimon, there's less. It's a matter of quantity. The Yisod is the same. Ah, that's where the Rambam differs. Rambam says, listen, the issue is whether or not Yom Yud Daled after Chatzos, because of Korban Pesach, is a kind of Hagdama already to Yom Tezvav in its own right. And as far as that's concerned, Rabbi Yehuda plays a big role. The reason that there's Tashbisu at Chatzos at that moment, that's why Rava, you know, is quoted on in Perek Aleph Halacha Ches. Right? It's all one shita, says the Rava. But if it wasn't for the Malkus and the Iser Lav, which is a way of saying, you know what? Part of what you have on Kares more intensely, on Tezvav, you already have on your Dalit. It's not just a preparation. It's not just a shame chametz, like maybe, or you know, the flip of what you have in La'achar Zman Yisur. Right? It's this Hagdama, which is a hemsheikh, albeit diluted. That's only for Rabbi Yehuda, that's not for Rabbi Shimon. So the whole Gemara is only according to Rabbi Yehuda. There's a huge difference if it's an Isra Achila that's Noveya from the Isra Asei of Tashbisu, or if it's the opposite. It's a Tashbisu that is a result of the Lav and the Malkus upcoming of Rabbi Yehuda. That's why one is Lefnei Zmano and the other is Lachar Zmano too. Because the real Mechayiv is the Rabbi Yehuda. That's why it's Kodim in the Koteret. I think that's exactly how the Rambam and the Ramban was saying in Achanami there's a connection. It would be inconceivable or unlikely to have Tashbisu if you were able to eat the chametz, and that he strongly parts company. We'll see his language also against him. Like the Balamor is okay with it, although the Balamor is a little bit tricky, right? Because the Balamor, this will stop. What's tricky about the Balamor? Yona, Yoni, saw it.
Yeah,
He doesn't say that achila, right, is muteris. He says achilaso zui hashpasasa. Meaning, lemaisa, according to the Balamor, you could have an isur shihia without an isur achila. And that's certainly abstractly possible according to these other Rishonim, the way they're saying it. But lemaisa for the Balamor, there could be a different explanation. And that is, the achila is always a kiyum in tashbisu itself. Now, again, you have to figure that out. Like, how does that work exactly? Either way, it's not compatible, obviously, with saying that Yom Yadalit Acher Chatzos is a kind of a pre-Chagamatzos Chagapesach. Then it wouldn't be a kiyum either. But at least in the idea of, you know, is this substance, you know, how can you eat it if you can't keep it in your rishas? The answer is eating it is getting rid of it. It's a key. Okay? So you have, to sum up so far, you have the view of the Balamor, which we'll discuss more of for Shimon, of heter achila, albeit betaras kiyum, and isur shihiya. For most Rishonim, there is Isra Achila and Isra Shihiyah, but there's a group of them that think that Hailechu Dekoy in both directions. Then there is a group that thinks that they are connected, but that connection, like in which direction is that connection, number one? And number two, does that connection require Rabbi Yehuda? No, it would work for Rabbi Shimon too. I think that's what the Ramban is saying in Sefer Mitzvahs. And then you have the Rambam in this phantom Rashi, where the Rambam is saying, you know, if not for the fullness of Rabbi Yehuda, you wouldn't have Tashbisu at Chatzos. And I think that totally works in with everything else around it. And Rashi's saying, once you have Rabbi Yehuda, of course you have Tashbisu. The only question can be according to Rabbi Shimon. That's even further than the Rambam, in a way. But the fact that the Rambam isn't further is good. And it works in all what the Lecha Mishnah and the Ramach were bothered by in Perek Beis, and what I'm bothered by in Perek Aleph, about Rav Anan, it all fits in, I think. Okay, stop here. Mirza Shem will finish with all this, hopefully. There's the other languages of the Rishonim and all the things I gave to look at. Those marmakomos. Plus, I want to speak more about Rabbi Avraham and Rambam, Rabbi Daniel and Bavli, how they understood the Rambam. You know, this whole part first, and then we'll get to the, you know, the other parts.